Our Old Testament reading will be from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and 4 through 7. You can find that on page 717 in your pew Bible. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into the exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The New Testament reading can be found on page 79, Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leopards approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make. I am living in exile. I grew up in Minnesota, and sometimes it feels like I can't go back. I have a life here now. I have a great job, obviously, a fiance, and essentially I have built a community here. But if you have gotten to know me at all over this past month or so that I've been here at First Church, I actually really love Minnesota. But sometimes it feels like exile when I get the sighs from my mom on the phone when we discuss when I'll visit next. Or the, "So, have we lost you to the East Coast?" type questions I get when I talk to my grandma. It's hard being away from a place I love and the people I love. And it's even harder sometimes to explain that to those whom I have left. It just so happens that your heart can be in two places at once. I remember one winter break a few years ago in divinity school. I was driving the car with my sister somewhere, probably Target, and I realized that something had shifted within me. This place doesn't feel the same as it used to feel. I may have been driving a little bit too aggressively for the comfort of my Minnesotan passengers, or maybe I was thinking about my new church back in New Haven, or maybe I was missing my now fiance, Elliot. But it's now happened many times. I often long for home, but when I get there, I can't wait to come back here. In a way, it sort of feels like exile. Of course, there are many forms of exile. The most obvious one, that is the kind that is the most dire, those like the Al-Abbas family are sponsoring refugee family from Syria who are actually forced out of their home or homeland and cannot return. And these folks are victims of injustice. Other kinds of exile are those who feel maybe cut off from family because of irreconcilable differences or misunderstandings. There are those who are spiritually exiled, those who feel cut off from God in one way or another. Those who don't fit in their school classrooms or in their workplace. There are those who feel alienated, objectified, dehumanized even by political rhetoric we hear on the airwaves in TV channels every second of every day. Those who are exiled from themselves because they find themselves in the dark pit of depression or mental health issues. These are only some of the many ways that exile exists in our world. Both scripture passages that we heard today tell the stories of people in exile. In the book of Jeremiah, the Israelites are in their long 70-year exile in Babylon. They are told by the prophet Jeremiah that God wants them to hang out for a while longer before God liberates them, for at least a couple generations. Jeremiah says, plant gardens, take spouses, set down roots. Essentially, grow where you're planted. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus encounters 10 lepers who are banished to the edges of their communities, permanent exiles. And there are two questions that I want to ask of us today based on these readings. One, where is God in moments of exile? And two, what are we called to do as Christians, as First Church, in response to those alienated or exiled? In the Gospel of Luke, as we heard today, the 10 lepers call to Jesus, asking for healing, and he heeds their plea. And after healing them, the lepers go on their way, but one of them turns back. He is a Samaritan, a foreigner, a person with whom the Jews would not get along. A double exile, if you will. This man runs to Jesus and gives thanks for his healing. Jesus replies, "Go, your faith has made you well." This story in Luke is important for many, many reasons, but one is because it tells us the importance of the exile, the outsider, the alienated, in salvation history. Namely, those on the edges of society are often the ones who just get it. Who, like the 10th leper, are the ones who recognize God and what God is doing in the world. The unlikely outsider is the one who walks closest with Jesus. In Jeremiah, God promises to be with the exiled, even though they are displaced from their homeland for many years. God is not confined to the borders of Judea. God goes wherever the exiles go. And that's, as we hear, where Jesus hangs out too, with the lepers, women, tax collectors, sinners, children, widows, the marginalized. So these stories beg the question, as faithful people, how are we called to meet the exiled? What is our role in all of this? Well, because we're not Jesus, and we can't miraculously heal or immediately restore justice, I argue that before we do anything else, we are to listen. Let them speak on their terms, not ours. Hear their stories. Let them speak in whatever way they feel called to speak. And in that way, we become in communion with them. And I see this call carried out very plainly in our church's relationship with the Alabas family. And not to in any way compare our own struggles with that of unjustly displaced people, but if we are honest, we all have moments of exile in our lives. I know this community is a mixture of exiles and outsiders, the alienated, the isolated, and it is a reality for this community and all communities of which we are a part. There is no us, them. We are a combination of insiders and outsiders, Some of us feel torn between two homes or three homes. Some of us live with chronic illness. Some of us struggle with depression. Some of us don't seem to fit in wherever we go. And for some of us, this church is the only place that feels like home. And thanks be to God for church. As people trying to build the beloved community, sometimes we really do live up the call to love God and our neighbor, and sometimes we fail miserably. We do our best to come together every Sunday for fellowship and create hospitality. We try to participate in service opportunities and mission trips. Many of our young people come to junior high and senior high fellowship every Monday and Sunday nights and make space for each other. Youth from different friend groups and schools come together for community, for fellowship, and to serve God. But frankly, we need reminders from stories like this gospel today. Scripture teaches us that those whom society, church, the world has outcast, that is where God is. And we as people of faith are called to be there too, a radically new beloved community. Today we have baptized little Madeline Gantley into this community of faith. Baptism, as Kate said, is a sacrament of initiation. It's a visible sign of God's grace and a radical welcoming into the church. She is not only a beautiful daughter to Sarah and Walter, she is also a beautiful living symbol of hope for our world and for our beloved community. God willing, she will grow up in this church surrounded by love from all of you. I have only been here a month or so, but I can confidently say that this community is one that is worth being a part of, and it is worth growing up in. Madeline, wherever you are, I cannot wait to be one of the many, many people who love you and promise to support you on your faith journey. I thank God for teaching us how to live. I thank God for giving us the grace and forgiveness when we fail. I thank God for being with us in our own moments of exile. And I thank God for being faithful to us as we, a community, beloved community, try again and again and again to be faithful to you. Amen.